Stay calm. Just a little. Going to open the House Committee on Land Use. And quickly, so we can get Harrison out of here if he needs to be. It's really 2746 that I have you here on, don't I?
It is.
Yeah, so let me open a work session on House Bill 2746. And Dave, do you want to join us too? And Representative Unger, do you want to
introduce
a few words?
So this is we heard this bill maybe in the first couple weeks of the session. So, and we're on the dash 12s here, so we've been working on it for a little while. And thanks to the help of Harrison and Dave, actually, I think we're at the place where we wanted to be from the very beginning. The dash 12s, what this bill does is it eases some of the restrictions around allowing some farmers to replace dwellings on farmland. It does a whole variety of different things, and I'll maybe let Harrison and Dave talk about what the dash 12s do differently than what the dash 11s do. But the big goal here, if you recall, is to make it so that a set of farmers who are stuck, who have houses that are real houses that they would like to replace but don't quite currently meet the standards, to loosen those standards enough to allow people to replace their dwellings. And there's a couple different ways they can do that. It's either by having proof that the house is actually a house and having paid taxes, or if the counties actually took them off the rolls at one point because the counties decided that the house wasn't worth anything, they can actually still replace their dwellings. There's a couple of exceptions to it. But the big thing is, if the house is a real house and they can prove it because they used to have wiring, used to have plumbing, and they pay taxes on it, they can replace it. That's the big goal here. And the other thing I'll note here, and I'll let these gentlemen talk a little bit about it too, we're expanding the number of houses that can be replaced, but we're putting some limitations on those houses so that it is an expansion of more houses. And so, as you all might know from my philosophy, and when we are allowing more building on farmland, I tend to try to do that pretty cautiously. So this bill approaches it cautiously. And the dash 12s, I think, would be probably best explained by Harrison and Dave. And again, I really appreciate their both of their help today on these amendments. So with that, I'll hand it over back to you, Chair Clem.
Yeah, and if you could just tell us a little bit about this dash 12.
Hello, Harrison Conley, Senior Deputy Legislative Counsel. And yes, after, I think, significant miscommunication and sort of talking back and forth, we finally come to a real understanding here. So if I could start, I think I'd say that there is, under current law, there is authority to alter, restore, or replace lawfully established dwellings in exclusive farm use zones. We have mirrored much of the current standards in this bill, specifically largely in Section 2, Sub 4. But as Representative Unger describes, in some ways we are expanding the dwellings that can be replaced, and in some ways we are narrowing or at least adding a new criteria. So what we, with respect to the bill, a structure that can be replaced has to have intact exterior walls and roof, plumbing, wiring, heating system, or at least that is current law. Under this bill, it can have those things or formerly have had them. I think at least in some part we're responding to the issue that sometimes when a house is abandoned, the copper is stolen out of it, so there isn't any plumbing anymore, there isn't wiring, so there's an expansion. It has these features or has had them. So with respect to the structures that formerly had these features, we're going to allow them, but we're going to make a more restrictive siting standard on the tract of land where they're located. Additionally, we are adding the criteria that the dwelling has been on the tax rolls for the past 5 years, but we create an exception. So that could limit some people who are currently authorized to get a dwelling restored or replaced. We have an exception to that, though, when the current owner did not cause the dwelling to come off of the tax rolls. That's a new authorization to have a dwelling replaced, and that too is subject to the more narrow siting standards for the new dwelling. The third area where we are applying a new, more restrictive siting standard for the new dwelling is with respect to replacement permits that were issued under the law that was in effect before this bill, and which permit has now become void. We're restoring those permits and allowing for a limited period of time people to build their dwellings under the permits. That, too, is a new use and is subject to a more restrictive siting standard. The current siting standard to which I'm referring is that the replacement dwelling can be on any part of the same lot or parcel. Going forward, and I'm looking at Section 2, Subsection 5B, the more restrictive siting standards require that the new replacement dwelling be on the footprint of the former dwelling or near a road, ditch, river, property line, or other boundary of the lot or parcel, and clustered, if possible, within an area where other structures are already established. So that's basically the big thing that we finally came to understanding. It is only these new authorizations for a replacement dwelling are subject to the more narrow siting standard.
Very helpful. And do you want to have him finish or ask Harrison?
Well, I have a question on specific.
Sure. Yeah, Representative Holvey.
Piece of that. So when it says or near a road, ditch, river, property land, blah, 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 how near?
Chair Klim, Representative Holvey, as you essentially indicate with your question, we have not been more specific than near. So that would, I would say, that leaves some discretion to the county planners to, when authorizing the siting, to decide what near means.
And I assume it's not defined anywhere else in the statute.
Chair Klim, Rep. Holvey, no, we have not defined that.
Thank you.
And Dave?
Chair Klim, members of the committee, Dave Honeycutt, Oregonians in Action, speaking in support of the Dash 12s. Our concerns, and I want to thank Representative Unger for addressing these, our concerns with the Dash 11s were that the more restrictive siting criteria that Mr. Conley discussed would apply to an existing dwelling, the idea being Farmer and Mrs. Jones' house burns down, and now they're subject to restrictive criteria, whereas under the current law, if their house burns down, they can replace it, and they can replace it on any portion of the same lot or parcel. With the Dash 11s, the more restrictive criteria would have applied to them, and that obviously caused us concern. It's a traumatic enough to lose your home, and even more so if you're subject to siting criteria that you hadn't been required to comply with prior to that. We fixed that with the Dash 12s, and as Mr. Conley said, the more restrictive siting criteria applies to the homes that would currently not be authorized under the existing replacement dwelling statutes, but only the ones that will now be able to be authorized as a result of the changes to the replacement dwelling statute. So with that, this becomes a good bill, and we would ask the committee to adopt the Dash 12s and move the bill along. I think it will solve a problem for a number of longtime farmers out there that have some dwellings that they'd like to replace.
Right. Any further questions for these two gentlemen?
Just to clarify, Dave, maybe for you, the original form of the bill, you were okay with?
Chair Klim, Representative Cameron, yes, although I think the Dash 12s do a good job of fleshing it out in greater detail.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're in a work session. Do we have paperwork? Okay, I'm just going to close the work session, and we'll come back to that if it comes in, or we might be getting into rule suspension time here because people will get sick of waiting, I'm sure. So let's go through what we can do. Young Life. So let me open up a work session on House Bill 3098. And Rep. Huffman, are you just watching to make sure we get this done, or would you like to visit with us?
Available for questions if you can.
Okay. So let's get the dash 6 on the table for discussion.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the dash 6 amendments to House Bill 3098.
I'm sorry, one second. Didn't we amend this already the other day?
We did adopt dash 6.
Okay.
We already adopted
so, it. Yeah, sorry.
So these were adopted.
Mr. Chair, I'll remove my motion.
Yes.
Withdraw my motion.
Yeah. So just the bill is amended then.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 3098 as amended to Ways and Means, right? Oh, to the floor with the due pass recommendation with the to be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Vice Chair Cameron moves House Bill 3098 with the dash 6 amendments adopted as amended to the with the due pass recommendation to the floor and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Discussion. Now, I'll note that there's DLCD talks about rulemaking. We're hoping to have some further discussions in Ways and Means about the $90,000 price tag to see if anything can be done. But at the moment, it's got about a $90,000 price tag. And then I was going to potentially have a few folks come up as well. But do people want to say anything? Representative Holvey.
Whoa, I got a promotion almost.
I'll trade you, please.
Vice Representative Holvey.
It's just Vice Holvey.
So, Mr. Chair, I was just going to ask if we could hear from a few folks to see if there was an agreement reached around some of the issues on this.
Yeah. Linda, do you want to come up? And Jonathan, would you come up? I don't know if I'd call it an agreement, but just to hear. And then, Michael, would you come up so I can talk about that amendment we're not going to do today, but I think you two may have talked a little bit about that. Okay.
So yeah, we're in agreement with taking care of those protections.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe, Linda, would you like to start?
Well, we had worked with Richard Whitman on the debt.
Your name, sorry.
Oh, excuse me. Linda Swearingen. I represent Young Life. Uh-huh. Representative Clem, members of the committee, we worked with Richard Whitman on the Dash 5 amendment so that we could allow this project to go forward under the existing statute with just one change, which would allow the camp to be, the new camps established on EFU land on soil classification 6, 7, and 8, or predominantly 6, 7, and 8, knowing that we would have to go through rules adoption, and we can certainly make that work. You know, we had hoped that we would have been able to do it without triggering the rules process, but it is what it is. And then we were presented with a Dash 6 amendment that Thousand Friends had put forward, and we actually like that better than our own. So
amazing.
We're just fine with that because it does trigger some things in there that we would like to see happen. And I have been in discussions.
And I will say, I just asked them not to support anything, but if I had to help doing it, could you just look at the legal language? I don't want it really called their amendment per se.
Well, they did a great job, and so do you. So, and then we have been in discussion with the tribes on some of their concerns. And in our original bill, we had put in several things that would give the tribes some additional protections. And we have a very good working relationship with them now. And one of the things that we want to make sure that happens during this process is that if there are any new sites discovered, we don't want the public to know. We don't want to have treasure hunters out there as well. So we want to continue to work with the tribes where they can come out anytime they want. They call and they come out. They visit burial sites, dig roots, different things that they've been doing for thousands of years, and we want to see that continue. So,
okay, so, and I've got some language. I don't know if that'll change or not, but Michael, you furnished this to me, and it's essentially says adding into the current bill as amended in Section 2 a C that says ensure protection of tribal cultural and sacred resources equal to or greater than that required by a few ORSs, the quote Indian graves and protected objects, and then a variety of other things. And then and that would apply to any youth camp then, because this is just amending the youth camp statute, and that would be any youth camp out in eastern Oregon on predominantly 6, 7, and 8 soils.
Right.
Does that sound about right? But we're not going to do that today because it would take too long. We don't have paperwork. So we'll just send this to recommendation to the Ways and here, actually.
You don't want to do it.
Yeah, we did a conceptual amendment verbally in our committee today. That was great. So.
So basically, Chair Clement, members of the Land Use Committee, Michael Mason, for the record, for the Confederate Tribes of Warm Springs, we've done an excellent job of staying neutral on this bill until yesterday or something like that. And I'm sorry to say that my perfect record is being broken a little bit, but we're still staying neutral, I think.
Yeah.
But there was a concern that, I mean, the bill was fine the way it was originally drafted, and but it did have the cultural resources protection provision, which then got taken out. That's what mm-hmm. got our folks concerned. We are neighbors of Young Life Ranch. The tribe has Pine Creek, former Pine Creek Ranch, right next door. That's an important area, and this is right in the middle of their ceded area. So it's it is an important area for them. I think Ms. Swearingen's right. The relationship is positive. But we don't want to create the impression that these good laws that were, the effort was led by Senate President Gordon Smith and House Speaker Bev Clarno to pass the laws that are referenced by this amendment. And we just don't want an impression that there's some weakening of those going on.
Yeah.
We're not here to say there is, but we want to make sure it's clear that they aren't weakened. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Representative Davis.
Thank you, Chair. And just to sort of clear up the record, as I've perceived what's happened is the original bill had those cultural protections, and it almost stirred the pot in a way that was unintended, because there already are cultural protections in Oregon statute. Is that correct? That would apply uniformly across any land use, including this.
That's Chair Clem, members of the committee, Representative Davis, sorry. That is correct. And that it was just once the amendment happened that people got a little concerned.
Okay.
Right.
So it's just clarifying that the law that applies actually applies.
That's right. Okay. And Jonathan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's Jonathan Manton for the record with Central Oregon Land Watch. We had originally raised strong opposition to the original bill based on kind of the notions that we're moving in these one-off directions. We're creating a special bill for just one entity, especially when that entity had not even applied for an application at the local level. And I just want to go on the record saying I very much appreciate the work that's been done to get us to where we are with the dash sixes. We discussed the issue with the Oregon Conservation Network today and agreed to not have the bill be identified as a major threat anymore in light of the dash sixes, because they do get around our concerns with regard to the structure and the one-off nature for a special entitlement bill. And as far as the cultural resources, we stand with the Warm Springs. If the Warm Springs obviously is working to get to neutral, we're working to get to neutral too. So I just wanted to give you that update and appreciate all the work that you've done, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, to get us where we are today.
Well, thank you. And Representative Hussman has had to ask myself and others to breakfast, lunch, dinner. Hey, Richard, can you? So he's done a lot of work to work with us, and we really want to give him credit. Okay, any further questions? I will say one thing, though, Linda, before you leave, just to pass on. So I met a nice lady on the phone who's very good friends with a really close personal friend of mine from college who sent her my way, and they own a property nearby, and they do want to have some conversations, not about the Young Life activities, but about other people who are on there under, like, guided hunts, getting up on their fence, shooting to get animals off it, but they're not under the control of Young Life. They're people who've been given permission to go there. And then the other one was
certainly like to know about that.
Are you speaking about yourself?
Oh, no, it's not me. I've never been there. My staff person has. It was the cattle that are other farmers that are leased, or, you know, they provide them. Sometimes the other farmer doesn't control them, and they get up onto their place as well. It's kind of up the canyon. And they're worried about all these new people. When are they going to all go up the canyon? And so it's more of a good neighbor issue than a statutory issue, but you might just tell them before they go in front of the county, try and work it out with some of their neighbors over the non-Young Life people's use of the property, basically.
If Thank just, you. If you we'll could. Do that.
Yeah, I've got email and whatnot for you if you want. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry. No, just took the opportunity while we're here.
We're all here.
Yeah, okay.
Going to give you after that.
Any further discussion?
Representative Davis. Thank you. I'm a little bit perplexed by the $90,000 fiscal that came back on this.
Yeah. I mean, the rulemakers, they don't know probably how much rulemaking changes might be needed to accommodate any given proposal. And if they need to change the rules to accommodate this, they probably are allotting multiple meetings, a staff person's time, something like that. There's a nod from DLCD. Could get a lot easier if it's not as complicated as we think. Don't know.
Yeah, I mean, my understanding was that the existing OIRs, although they may not be perfect, are a pretty good structure, and so I would hope it wouldn't require too much
effort. A lot of changes.
Yeah.
So tell the member of Ways and Means that if you see him.
Yeah. I'll look for him.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. With that, any further? Okay. Could you please call the roll?
Representative Davis.
Yes.
Representative Holby.
I'm going to provide a courtesy yes with I suppose I want to make sure that the changes get made in the Ways and Means Committee. So if it comes out without the changes that we've talked about for the tribes, I will be a no on the floor.
Okay.
Representative Thatcher.
Yes.
Representative Unger.
Yes.
Vice Chair Cameron.
Yes.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Yes.
Chair Clement.
Aye. Motion passes. The bill is sent to Ways and Means. Good work, people. Okay, so we can get through yours so you can leave, Representative Huffman. Why don't we do 3479 next, if that sounds fine? So let me open a work session on 3479, and we did get the revenue back.
3479, yes.
And Dave, can you come back up and tell us a little bit about this. And Aaron, do you want to? No. I've got a little note from Aaron that I won't read it all. But anyway, we're fine with the bill as these amendments indicate, basically. Okay. So tell us about our dash fours.
Chair Clem, members of committee, Dave Honeycutt, Oregonians in Action, here on House Bill 3479. This was the bill that we heard last week that dealt with the Dalles and the property owners from the Dalles who were being assessed a fee in lieu of a local improvement district assessment of as much as $150,000 on a three-lot partition. That bill, if you recall back to that bill, the first thing I said when I got up in front of the committee was this bill needs amendments. We've done that with the dash fours. It essentially guts and stuffs the existing bill and replaces it with language, moving it out of the SDC statutes and into the LID provisions in Chapter 223 of the statutes. And basically what we do with this bill, we limit the bill to partitions only. A partition is the creation of three or fewer lots. The folks that were in from the Dalles that testified all wanted to do to create a lot or two. No one there was a subdivider. They weren't, you know, we're not talking about the D.R. Hortons of the world with 200 lot subdivisions. We're only talking about partitions. So the bill is limited to partitions only. And what the bill says is a city can, in Section 2 of the bill, a city can assess a charge in lieu of forming a local improvement district or require a prepayment, but if it applies to a partition, it can't exceed $5,000. So instead of having a $50,000 assessment or a $150,000 assessment, that fee would drop to $5,000. And it would go specifically into a fund dedicated for the purpose of the future LID. So if they were collecting the money for street improvements, they could collect up to $5,000 on a partition application and apply that put that into a fund that was dedicated to the future creation of an LID for those street improvements. We also added language that you see in section 2 sub 3 at the request of the city of Portland that made it clear that the city can, in lieu of assessing a fee, can still require that the full improvements be completed by the owner of the property at the time that the application or as a condition of the approval of the application. That wasn't our intent to get into that. And that property owners who wish to pay a fee in lieu instead of waiting for an LID to be formed can, at their option, can do that as well. I know the city of Portland is working with the home builders up there on a program that would enable the developer, even on a partition, which this bill applies to pay a fee in lieu of an LID before, and the infrastructure improvements would be made without the LID being formed, and if an LID was formed in the future, the amount that they paid would be credited against their share of the assessment of the LID. So essentially, after much work and significant conversations with the League and various cities, we now have a bill. I'm free to report that the city of Medford is neutral on the bill. The city of Portland is now neutral on the bill. You've got a note from Aaron Doyle at the League of Oregon Cities. And we still have a good bill that should stop what happened to the folks in the Dalles from happening again and ensure that at least as far as the Dalles goes, which is a fairly unique situation, that what happened, that those property owners who have really suffered tremendously as a result of the way the Dalles is handling their payments in lieu of an LID get some relief and are not required to pay $150,000 to do a two-lot partition. I've got one piece of legislative history that I promised one of the municipalities I would read, so let me do that. Let me clarify the intent of Section 2, Sub 2A, which starts at line 21 on page 1 of the bill. The prohibition on the non-remonstrance agreement is for a LID related to the same improvements for which the charge was assessed. It is not intended to prohibit any other infrastructure LIDs that may be formed and levy assessments against the property. So, with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions on this bill.
I think we'll go to the bill. Okay, any questions for Dave?
Okay, thank you.
I think we are
in a work session. If not, I'll open another work session on House Bill 3479.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the dash fours to House Bill 3479.
Vice Chair Cameron moves the dash four amendments to House Bill 3479. Any discussion? Any objection? Not so adopted.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 3479 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Cameron moves House Bill 3479 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Davis.
Aye.
Representative Holby.
Aye.
Representative Thatcher.
Aye.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cameron.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Chair Clem.
Aye. Motion passes. The bill sent to the floor. Representative Huffman, would you like to carry this one?
Yes, sir.
This may have been one of the quicker bills from introduction to passage, because you just introduced it last week, if I remember right, as a priority bill. So that's pretty talented.
That's what happens when you stay here for the whole
period. Yeah, if you just sit here and make us feel guilty and just stare like that, it's kind of awkward. Yeah.
He's batting 1,000 in land use right now.
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive.
Okay. Do I have any more that you care about while you're here? Just
2106, right? 2106.
Okay, let's do that next. House Bill 2106. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2106. It was next on the list anyway, actually. Okay. Oh, yeah, so this was the one on... it's really complicated. Anyway, Margie Hoffman and Tom Gallagher and somebody came up there the other day. Don't remember who they were now. And so we've got the dash of threes that I believe we even talked about the other day. And then they're moving over for discussion of the mitigation program in another bill because the relating clause won't fit in this one.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the dash threes into House Bill 2106.
Vice Chair Cameron moves the dash three amendments to House Bill 2106. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Not, the amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2106 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Does this have a subsequent referral?
This might have a subsequent referral.
It did not before.
Didn't see it. Let me just stand at ease for a moment. Back into session here.
And I had just made the motion to move House Bill 2106 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Cameron moves House Bill 2106 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Davis.
Aye.
Representative Holby.
Aye.
Representative Thatcher.
Aye.
Representative Unger.
Yes.
Vice Chair Cameron.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Chair Clem.
Aye. Motion passes. The bill sent to the floor. Bentz? Would you like to carry it, or Representative Bentz, maybe? Representative Huffman will carry House Bill 2106.
Anything else?
And are we... Do we have all yours handled?
I'm good.
Okay. You're welcome to stay and watch. I just, you know...
You should be so lucky.
Okay, let's do, we're not doing anything on House Bill 2201, so that's going to die today, and let's open a work session on House Bill 2202, and it's the dash ones that we want to discuss. Is that right? It's got bold, and we have... With his light back.
We have the fist, but we do not have the revenue back.
Oh, we don't have revenue back. Well, okay, hold on. We're going to move on to that for a moment because they're waiting for the revenue to come back. Okay, so let's move on. I'll close the work session for the moment on House Bill 2202. Let me just state House Bill 2255 is dying here today, and 3124 is dying here today. And 3173, at the sponsor's request, is dying here today. Be talked about later when a Senate bill comes over. And then...
Is that an essentially identical Senate bill?
No, it's not quite identical.
It's a placeholder.
Yeah, it was a placeholder. And then there's...
Kind of that agreement, or is that in danger right now?
I think it moved out of the Senate committee. Mm-hmm. But I think we'll have some do you want to say anything or no? Yeah, we'll just, when it gets here, we'll have a hearing and talk about it.
Okay, so that issue, just talk about that issue is not dead, because that's important.
No, the issue is not dead. Okay, no, so we'll, it's just the Senate bill was the vehicle, and this was the backup plan in case nothing happened. Yeah. No? Good clarification.
It was...
Let me, we're not going to move it, but let me open a work session for on House Bill 3362.
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Vice Chair Cameron.
Thank you. Talked with, I know this is an important issue, and I would encourage Representative Conger and the parties involved to keep working on this issue. We know we're not moving this bill today.
Okay, so although Doug, I don't think, is here, and he was the one. Okay, it's fine. Anyway, the Farm Bureau, Thousand Friends, and those folks were kind of the parties that were bantering emails back, and I think that now that you're in the room, Vice Chair Cameron has just asked the parties to, you know, continue talking about this in the interim. No, just want you to know that. Thank you. This was all for you and Representative Conger, and you're all we could get right this second, so thank you. Okay, now we're going to kill your bill. Sorry. We're going to close the work session on
keep working on it.
House Bill 3362. Okay. And we might be into rule suspension time. Let me just see what came back. Let's have the committee stand at ease for a moment.
You were with me up front in the very beginning.
We're coming back into session here on the Land Use Committee.
So, 3040. Did you open a work session?
Right? Let me open a work session on House Bill 3040.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash fours to House Bill 3040.
Vice Chair Cameron moves the dash four amendments to House Bill 3040. And these are the amendments that Mr. Dewey helped us construct that limit the bill's applicability to essentially new landfills and not all the other types of waste disposal that are out there. And he's not here, so
that's what they do.
And that's the dash fours.
Can you clarify what the dash fours do again?
Sorry, yeah, they limit.
I was expecting Mike to kind of explain them. Yeah.
They limit the applicability of the bill to essentially new landfills that are not currently under a permit or owned in the same tract by someone with their expansion area planned for an expansion. And this basically mirrors LCDC rule, which we would be codifying an existing rule. Hey, would you, do you want to come talk about the dash fours just for a moment?
Exactly.
Just want to make sure I said it right.
We're doing the dash fours, not the dash fours.
We'll do those two. That's the wetland transfer station wetland compromise on non-farm study. It's just the relating clause was needed. Sorry. Mr. Dewey.
Apologize.
Okay.
Air permits on the other side over here. So Mike Dewey on behalf of Waste Management. So we offered an amendment. It's had different iterations, but the idea was that for, we're talking about landfills.
Yeah, dash four.
Yes, landfills. And so we had talked a bit about some of the issues about where existing landfills are, the economies of scale. If there's a need to expand, there would be some detriment to ratepayers having to go great distances and the like, and we had that conversation earlier. So what we suggested on behalf of Waste Management that for high-value farmland that you are not able to permit a new landfill on high-value farmland, but for a facility that is already permitted by DEQ, you could continue, one, to operate, and two, expand through the conditional use process. That's a local land use process. So there's no guaranteed as an outright permitted use, with a caveat that you own the land if this bill were to pass on the effective date, the applicability clause. So you would expand adjacent to where you were already permitted as opposed to 10, 12 miles off somewhere else. So that's what this amendment does. And then there's a larger conversation about landfills in general with the work group, the dash five.
Yeah.
But we thought that was a good compromise that could be had about the discussion about losing high-value farmland and the like. But again, the caveat is if you're fully permitted today, you own the land, the track, that you can expand under the regular land use process.
And then the other piece there. Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Mike, for offering these amendments. The other thing that this doesn't address or takes out is any other solid waste disposal site that's not a landfill. So it doesn't address transfer station. I know some people are worried about composting. It doesn't address that. It just addresses
waste incineration.
Waste incineration, yeah. Worry about that. Just landfills.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I may. We want this to be narrow because there's a lot of, I use the word, it's not going to be exciting for you, but in our solid waste world, there's a lot happening in terms of how you manage waste. And you want to manage it close to where it's generated. And so waste energy facilities, a lot going on in that arena, beta test and the like. And it may make sense to put it in a certain area. So we don't want to preclude that today. Landfills are hard to permit anyway. I think they're located now where they ought to be, by and large. We're not going to be building a lot of landfills. The way we're going to be doing stuff different with our waste. So that's why it needed to be narrow and not have that disposal definition, which is very broad.
Okay. Thank you. Any more Representative Davis.
Thanks, Chair. There was a comment about this applies to high-value farmland. Is that defined in the amendment, or is this just Willamette Valley?
I believe that I don't have the amendment before me, and I apologize. Let me get it.
That definition already exists in statute.
And I'm just looking for where it is in here, in the actual amendment.
On page 9.
Page 9.
First one, and there's probably another one later. Under 283.
Yeah. I see the page 9, a site except for a landfill.
Right. Sorry.
That doesn't that doesn't limit it to high value, though.
It could be anywhere in the state.
It, Mr. Chair, so it's my understanding, so this is... It says, in any area zoned exclusively for farm use.
Mm-hmm.
And... so my sense is that it would be beyond, based on that definition, high value farmland, because I don't think there is a definition of high value farmland in the statute.
I know there is a definition of high value farmland in Oregon statute somewhere, and then we've been defining it for other purposes as based on soil classifications. But so there is no delineation based on soil type or farmland type in this bill.
Based on the description of exclusive farm use, yes.
But I guess the...
Yeah, Representative Davis.
Sorry, follow up. The concern I'm getting to is that I've become not anything close to a soils expert, but an other work group learning more about soils and what we just did with the Young Life Bill, allowing it on
certain soils,
6, 7, 8,
yeah.
And with the need to... for, I think, environmental purposes, and sometimes wanting to keep waste close to the source. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think we have existing rule on this topic that probably defines high-value farmland, but I'm wondering, Mr. Rendy's saying yes, existing rule. And this bill's going to Ways and Means, so we could probably, do you want to come up? Probably not, but could you come up? Sorry.
Mr. Chair, before Mr. Dewey leaves.
Representative Holby,
So is this amendment is essentially allowing landfills in any farmlands, essentially? Or is it excluding them from any farmlands?
Mr.
The
Chair,
way I read it, it's a little
Holby,
confusing.
So the original bill would have precluded landfills from being permitted and or expand on farmland. That's what the original bill did. And we opposed that, so we offered up an amendment that would basically, the idea is to allow a landfill to expand under certain conditions. So that was the intent, because originally you, for example, we're going through a permitting process in Riverbend, and that would have in Yamhill County, and that would have been an outright prohibition, and that would not have been a good result, at least from our opinion, for ratepayers. Hopefully that answers your question,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Davis?
So as I understand it, if we pass this amendment, new solid waste, new landfills, as opposed to other types of waste disposal facilities, would be prohibited on EFU land in Oregon.
Based on Section 1, the definition 215.213.1, in areas zoned for exclusive, so the following uses may be established.
Right.
Now, we would consider if this discussion wanted to be only on high-value farmland, we would be in it. If that's not clear, that we'd be happy to have that discussion.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Holby.
Just so we clarify, I think there's a new addition in Section 3 of the bill on the last page, page 33, that has a clear description of what this bill's doing, I think. Or this amendment, excuse me.
It seems to grandfather in existing properties and expansions on those properties. Is that right?
Yeah, so the first page, page 9 is line 25 is a site except the landfill. So that can't be cited on exclusive farmland. Except for the caveat about the last page are the ability to expand a permitted landfill.
Mr. Chair.
Sorry. Thank you. Mr. Rindy.
For the record, I'm Bob Rindy with the Department of Land Conservation Development.
I summoned
you up.
I'm
just going to echo what I think we just heard, and that I concur that there's nothing in this amendment that seems to be particular to high-value farmland. It's all EFU lands. DLCD does have rules that identify high-value farmland, and there are particular provisions for those, but nothing in this bill would prompt the commission to do something different on high-value farmland is, in fact, for all land.
Okay. And do you have a DEQ, sorry, a LCDC rule, or DLCD, whoever you are in this particular OAR, I'm not sure if the commission or the
department. OAR 660, Division 33.
Yeah.
Eastern Oregon.
About citing new landfills on either high-value farmland or EFU?
Yeah.
I will have to hesitate for a minute on that.
Mr. Morrissey.
And bring up our
person who knows more about those.
The one who really knows it all is back at the ranch, Chair Clem and Committee. I believe that.
And who are you?
Michael Morrissey.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
For the record.
For the record. The LCD policy analyst. The current rules limit or prohibit landfills on high-value farmland. Is my understanding.
Okay.
Not on, but do not extend that same prohibition to other EFU.
Okay. Okay. So we.
Plural amendment?
Yeah.
It's a verbal amendment.
We would be.
He offered the amendment, but we'll have.
Yeah, but if we go to Ways and Means, we'd be happy to have the discussion about narrowing this to high value farmland. We'd be happy to do that.
Representative.
Thanks. So I'm reading this one piece of the bill that's that has the list of things that can be on EFU lands essentially, and one of them is a site for the except a landfill for the disposal of solid waste approved. So what by a governing body? So what's the difference? What other methods of disposing of solid waste are we talking about if they're not landfills?
If I may, Mr. Chair, Representative Holvey, it could be a waste energy facility. It could be potentially the commingling with agricultural waste. Food waste, for example, is solid waste, so that could be an anaerobic facility, a digester. And that is basically defined as a disposal site facility in the statute. If you look at that statute, there are 10 to 15 different qualifications, including landfill, and we did not want to prohibit those kinds of activities that might be necessary for a farm production. So we narrowed it specifically to landfills.
Okay. Anything else for these gentlemen?
I'll just clarify.
Yeah, Representative Davis.
It is a rule, but rules are enforced as essentially law in Oregon. The current law is that we cannot site solid waste disposal facilities on high-value farmland.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, we're in a work session, dash fours. We're the ones we were just talking about.
Didn't I already make a motion to adopt the dashboards?
Yes.
Oh, okay. People
come up. We had everybody coming up talking about dashboards.
Sorry. So, okay. Any further discussion on the dashboards?
Sure, Clem.
Representative.
Quickly, I think the intention that, we'll take into Ways and Means is that, we'll bring this to codify the rule that says that we'll limit landfills on to high-value farmland.
You don't want to try and get away with it now that it might have been written wrong? He left, so.
Oh, no, he's right there.
Mr. Dewey's still in the room. That's not the intention, and we're happy to work with Mr. Dewey down in Ways and Means to make sure we get it right.
Grandfather in existing.
It does. Yeah. So with that noted, I think we're probably ready to go. Any further discussion?
We have to adopt the amendment, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Any objection to the amendments? Dash fours? No? Okay. Dash fours are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the dash five amendments to House Bill 3040.
Vice Chair Cameron moves the dash five amendments to House Bill 3040.
And colleagues, you'll remember back to, where's Katie? Oh, you want to? You remember back to our discussion about the Coquille Valley and some other wetlands and other type areas. This was, we at one time talked about with Richard Whitman and Katie about a kind of a compromise of what to do here in the interim to study non-farm impacts. The relating clause didn't work in that bill, so we hijacked Representative Unger's bill on landfills for the good relating clause to attach ourselves to. And can you tell us just a little bit about them?
Yes. For the record, Katie Fast, Oregon Farm Bureau. So the dash fives direct some state agencies to go and do a study on impacts and of land conversions from farm use to other uses in the EFU, including wetlands and land acquisitions, but not only to those, to look at other conversions to non-farm uses. They will do a detailed study on at least two counties and then create a report that will be reported back to a committee that will convene a work group that will recommend strategies to limit or address conflicts between non-farm uses and farm uses in the EFU. And that committee will report back to the legislature or the appropriate legislative committees by January 1st, 2016.
Okay, and that's the dash fives.
Yes.
Good. And one of the things I'm noticing, it talks a little bit, I think, in our fiscal statement about some costs potentially for the $364,000 actually in cost of the study. I don't know if that's really what it's going to cost, but I've talked with Representative Unger about there might be some outside funding, and we may have to maybe even amend the bill to receive that money, maybe not. Just noting there's currently a pretty big fiscal plan for the study, but we're hoping that that wouldn't be coming from the state, so we think we've got some sources identified. Okay, so this is the dash fives. Any Representative Holfe?
Thank you. I'm curious whether the intent of the work group. I see that they reference the acquisition by federal agencies, and whether or not where the state authority and the federal programs sort of collide, and how we solve those problems as well.
So, Chair Clem, Representative Holvey, I think that is to be worked out over time as that work group gets developed. It will be appointed by DLCD. So I am hopeful in some discussions I've had with the governor's office. I think there is some hope to have some of those federal partners either on a work group or on a subcommittee to talk about those issues. You are correct. The state cannot force the federal government to abide. But at least it will convene a dialogue and maybe resolve some of the issues on where they're siting or wetlands or making land conversions to non-farm uses, that those are done to minimize conflicts.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure they were intending on talking to the federal agencies as well. Usually they're willing to talk, but you can't require them to talk.
Correct.
Thanks.
Okay. Any further discussion on the dash fives?
Okay. Any objection to the dash fives?
Good. idea.
Yeah, okay. Dash fives are adopted. So we've adopted the fours and fives, and we got the bill as amended.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 3040 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation with referral to Ways and Means.
Vice Chair Cameron moves House Bill 3040 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation that the bill be sent to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Discussion.
Oh, what the objections?
Yeah. Any discussion?
Well, this will be a roll call vote.
Yeah, go ahead.
So this is the time.
Oh, this is the time. Sorry.
Representative Davis.
Sorry, I'm used to my transportation committee. I'll be a no on this simply because I started sort of a principled stand in another committee of when we're sending bills with a due pass recommendation, even if they're the intent is to work on them some more and clean them up, that I'm voting on the bills as they are. I think because of the issues we discovered today in committee, I'll be a no for that reason, but hope that the bill does, if it passes this committee, codify that rule, that DLCD. I'm also a little concerned with the fiscal on the study, simply because this is the Department of Land Conservation and Development, and I would hope this is the sort of work that's inherent in what DLCD does and shouldn't take additional work.
Okay, further discussion? Representative Thatcher.
What he said.
Okay.
Actually, I'd like to vote on things as they are.
Okay. And any further discussion?
Oh, I seem to remember that comment.
With that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Chair. I understand where my colleagues are, and I'll be voting yes, and I'm going to, since they're going to be the watchdogs and voting no, I would expect that they will follow it down to Ways and Means and make sure the changes get done. Thank you.
He just made an assignment. He's the vice chair. He can do that. Okay. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Davis.
No.
Representative Polby.
Aye.
Representative Patrick.
No.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cameron.
Yes.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Yes.
Chair Clem.
Aye. Motion passes and House Bill 3040 moves to Ways and Means. Okay. 2202. Can we open a work session on House Bill 2202? And do you want to give a little report on how the work group's going?
Sure.
Representative Davis.
So I'll report on the work group on House Bill 2202. We've met twice now, received a proposal from the Farm Bureau. Aggregate had a weekend to noodle on that and send their own proposal back. We had a good work group, I think, this week. Rich Angstrom and Katie Fast have agreed to meet two or three times next week to try to come to some agreement on some more detailed language based on those two proposals. And as a work group, we are meeting the Monday after that to see if there is an agreement that we have come to. And as part of that, we've also had a data request into three agencies, Ag, Dogami, and Land Conservation. And they did a very nice job on a very quick timeline. I thank them for coming back with some good information, really on the issue of the last bill, which is the loss of high-value farmland in the Willamette Valley. So I think we're making progress, and that's where we are.
Okay. Thank you. And can I get a motion on the dash ones?
There we're going to go. Mr. Chair, I'll move the dash ones into House Bill 2202.
Vice Chair Cameron moves the dash ones to House Bill 2202. Let me talk about those for a moment. I'm trying to find them. This actually, similar to the 3040 concept, is kind of a grandfathering for existing landowners. So you'll see in 4, it says that this subsection does not apply to any land that was owned by the applicant and operator of a mining operation on January 1. So that would be anybody who is, well, let me reverse and talk about 5 first. 5 says this does not affect the authority to continue or alter a mining operation or to restore or expand a mining area on a tract on which the mining operation was permitted. So that would be our permitted aggregate sites currently. The other one applies to, and we had some testimony from a few operators who talked about they had bought their next site already, maybe don't have it permitted, but had bought it, and that's where they intended to go. And this one, it says that if it's owned by the applicant and operator of a mining operation on January 1, 2013, it also would not be restricted in the way the bill applies. So it would apply then to newly purchased lands for aggregate purposes by entities going forward. So that's the dash ones. And any discussion on those? Seeing none, any objection to the dash ones? Seeing none, dash ones are adopted. And then now that is just half of that. Okay.
We're going to Ways and Means.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2202 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendations be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Vice Chair Cameron moves House Bill 2202 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation that be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Discussion. And I will comment. It's, as you know, I introduced the bill. I'm quite encouraged by the work group's recommendation. If we weren't up against a deadline, I wouldn't be asking for a vote on the bill as it is at the moment. But we're up against a deadline. So I would like to commend the work done particularly by Representative Davis and Vice Chair Cameron and the parties. And let's keep working. And the bill will go to Ways and Means. I think Representative Unger is here to witness that we're all in favor of these work group discussions, and we're not looking for immediate action on this bill. We want that process to continue to try and work, and I'll just say that. And Representative Holby.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I question why we're moving this bill. If there's an ongoing work group that needs to keep working on this, it seems very vague as to what this work group's going to end up with down in Ways and Means, with perhaps some substantial policy issues being adopted in a Ways and Means committee. And I think Representative Davis earlier voiced his discomfort with sending out bills that need change. I'm comfortable sometimes doing that when they're very minor changes, but I wasn't really thrilled with the way this bill came about to start with. It seemed like a big discussion that needed to happen before this bill came forward. Maybe this bill helps that discussion along, but at this point, when we got a work group ongoing, I think it's premature to send a bill down expecting that there's some sort of outcome that's going to be passed. I would prefer this work group to work during the interim and come back in February. So I'll be a no on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Chair. As always, Representative Holby and I share identical views.
Except that you're the chair of the work group, so we don't want to go to the interim because you're going to keep
that's
chairing
right.
it. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Just to make sure. Representative Thatcher.
Actually, the concerns that I have been expressed by my colleague, who is always in agreement with me. So,
especially on withdrawal issues.
Right, right. Yeah. So I'm wondering why we don't send it to a place where policy might take place, like rules. Traditionally, we don't do policy amendments in Ways and Means, so I'm just kind of curious about that.
I'm happy to respond to that. So I had obviously I'm voting on the bill as it is right now. when I vote. And I understand that that's how you are needing to vote on it as well, not what the promise is, but how the bill is. I'm in favor as the bill, as it's written, obviously. So, but I did say I would commit to the work group effort. Now, I also said at the time, if we don't get there by the last day, we're not just going to quit and the bill goes away because I want this bill. So the reason it's going to its next committee, it could go to rules or it could go to ways and means. It really doesn't matter. They both stay open the entire time. But ways and means is the next committee that it's been assigned, and I'm more comfortable sticking to exactly what I said, which is in order to not have people stall on purpose, the bill moves on the 18th on the last day if we don't get anywhere. Now, I've since been convinced it's definitely worth it to still keep talking. But, you know, I gave a pretty specific charge, and we weren't able to get there, and so that's why Ways and Means instead of Rules.
Well, I agree, yeah. And I think that people who have been working in the work group, I think there's a huge improvement, but I guess I kind of want to see what the end product might be. I would like to see us do something a little not under the gun like it feels like we're doing right now.
Totally understandable. Vice Chair Cameron.
Mr. Chair, I as usual, am against some of my colleagues up here, but I want to make a couple of comments. I have been participating with Representative Davis in the work group, and I've heard people are voting on the particular policy the way it is, including yourself. I'm not, and I want to make that real clear. I'm voting in confidence of my colleague here who's working on the work group and a couple of people who have been working really hard on both sides, that we would come to an agreement in that work group, not during the interim, but in the next couple of weeks, and have something that comes out of that work group. I will be voting yes to move the bill to Ways and Means, but I would reserve that right if we can't get this done to change my vote if this bill does come to the House floor.
Representative Davis.
Yeah, I just also like to thank those involved in the work group. Both sides, independent, not in the same room, have kind of been said, our interest is to try to put this issue to bed, and that's our intent. And so I truly think both sides are working in good faith. I do think it actually helps that we have some time frames and that we're not just saying let's do it in the interim. It keeps us on task, keeps us moving. So I'm hopeful. Cautiously optimistic.
Okay. All right.
Good.
Any further discussion?
Great.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Davis.
No.
Representative Holby.
No.
Representative Thatcher.
No.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cameron.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Chair Clem.
Aye. Motion passes. The bill sent to Ways and Means. 2476. All right. Let's get our last one done. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2746.
Let's see. We're doing dash 12s, right?
We've
got all
yes.
These dash 12s. Dash 12s. We already talked about what these dash 12s do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I'll move the dash 12s into House Bill 2746.
Vice Chair Cameron moves the dash 12 amendments to House Bill 2746. This was the discussion with Mr. Honeycutt a little bit earlier.
Representative Davis.
I like the original bill the best, so I'll vote no on this. I'm moving the dash 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Any further discussion? Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have some concern about not defining what near means.
And anybody else?
Dash 12s.
Dash 12s. Okay, so objections to the dash 12s, Representative Davis and Representative Holby. Do vote together a lot. And with that, the dash 12s are adopted.
Oh, you want to let him make the motion?
Davis? Or
you? No, go, you can go ahead.
All right.
You sure you don't want to do this? This has been your bill.
That's okay.
I've actually joined on the bill now, too.
I think he might have, though, thrown his cousin under the bus in the development of this.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2746 as amended to the floor, as amended with the dash 12s, to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Cameron moves House Bill 2746 as amended with the dash 12s, nonetheless, to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Foley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Though I do have concern about where near is, I will be voting yes on this bill and hope that it does not become a problem in the future that we have to come back and rein in the nearness or the...
Is that near?
Yeah. Okay. And, Representative Davis.
I'd just like to reiterate once again, Representative Holley takes the words out of my mouth.
Okay. Okay. Seeing no further discussion, with the clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Davis.
Aye.
Representative Holley.
Aye.
Representative Thatcher.
Aye.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cameron.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Chair Clem.
Aye. Motion passes, and the bill sent to the floor.
He called shotgun first. So.
Dang.
Okay, no, Representative Longer. Okay, now let's just look at the agenda real quick one more time. There's no sad faces. Do you have it?
Yeah.
I'm sure there will be
sad faces.
And the actual agenda.
Oh, the actual agenda. I do have that.
Now, okay. Going to ask you a question about what near means.
3098, we passed. 3479,
just send me
we
that
passed.
Question about nearness in advance, will you?
2201, we killed. 2202, we passed. 2255, we killed.
Okay, just a second.
3124, we killed. 3173, we killed. 3362, we killed. 2746, we passed. 3480,
what your definition is.
Committee members, thank you. This has been a pleasurable House Land Use Committee, and we'll see what the Senate does to us when their bills come. And thank you for your attention throughout this. How many bills did we get passed?
Pretty good.
12 or 13?
20 plus today.
20 plus bills.
There
it's
you
like
go.
A 50% ratio.
Actually, yes.
We only had 40 or so. So.
Wow. 49.
49.
I must be.
I credit your work, Chair.
Yeah, your leadership.
Your workshop.
It's just your leadership.
No. I mean, when we first went through this stuff, none of it was going to go through.
I have no power in this committee.
You keep voting no on everything. We're talking about. And we're adjourned.